Dave and Darren. And the Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show. Still hearing from people that they're discovering that we're back on the radio, and it's been more than 2 years. So, I guess, once again, we'll state for the record, we're back on FM
and
radio.
We're back.
Yeah. Yeah, check that out if you get a chance. Or, you know, I guess you could just continue to listen to this best of that we provide.
Yeah, I thought we mentioned that on the podcast. Maybe not.
Well, I think it's possible that not everybody listens to every show. But I had a conversation a couple of days ago with somebody who said they were going through the dial and they couldn't believe that we were on the air.
I can't believe they're doing this.
I know. And I had to explain it's been over 2 years since our return. We're grateful that you're spending time with us.
Who signed off on this
podcast? The top 5 things. Let's get started with number 1. Yes?
Yes, number one.
Yesterday being the 4th of July, did you get a chance to watch any of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
No, I whiffed on that one.
You know, it's an event that fascinates me, but I can't watch it. It's watching them dip the hot dogs in water and shove it in their mouths. It's just
turning the bread into mush.
It's a bit much for me. Can't watch it live.
They typically do that at high noon.
Yeah. Well, 11 o'clock our time. Right.
Yeah.
Joey Chestnut winning again.
Attaboy. I did hear that he won by 20 hot dogs. So, I mean,
can no one even present a challenge for this guy? Won by 20 hot dogs and in the middle of the contest body slammed a dude.
What?
Yeah.
Is that allowed, or is that now part of the, are they trying to turn it into like a pentathlon?
Yeah, it was like a WWE affair. The 107th annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest in Coney Island yesterday. The women's competition started things off, and Miki Sudo returned to defend her title. She was off last year for maternity leave.
Take it easy on the unborn. All those hot dogs.
See, I would think that would give you an unfair advantage, though, because you're eating for two.
And,
I had 40 hot dogs, and the baby had 7. She had 40 hot dogs in 10 minutes. So, once again, this is her 8th time winning the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
I would think eating that many hot dogs, if you were pregnant, could cause birth.
Yeah, good point. Or you give birth to a hot dog.
the baby comes out
and it's more hot dog than human.
Eventually, you give birth to a baby. You did give birth to a few hot dogs first.
Then there was the lemonade chugging that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Badlands Booker retained his crown as the lemonade chugging world champion.
Now, what sort of canker sore do you end up with that?
Right?
Burning a hole through your mouth.
His burp afterwards,
epic.
After chugging all of the lemonade.
How much lemonade?
Well, let me take a look to see how much lemonade he chugged. This is Badlands Booker. Enjoy his burp.
3, 2, 1, go!
It's like a jug, right? That's got to be a gallon.
That's about a gallon.
And Travis Paradise spilling a little of that pink lemonade. Badlands Booker, T. Kenny is pushing Badlands. T. Kenny's pushing Badlands, but Badlands, he's going for it.
Oh, my God.
Badlands Booker.
Oh! He's got it.
Oh, my glory.
Oh, my glory.
No, that's a good gallon.
Oh, my glory. He just chugged a gallon of pink lemonade. Listen to the burp this cat puts out.
With a new world record of 1 gallon of Nathan's lemonade. Badlands, how do you feel?
Excuse the bad manners. Sorry. Woo, that was awesome.
That didn't sound like a real burp.
You think he's putting a little show there?
Putting a little show on there. I know percolation, and I didn't hear it there.
Then it was time for Joey Chestnut to take the stage, and he did in crutches. Apparently, Joey Chestnut has some sort of leg injury, and because of the leg injury, he has not been competing before yesterday's competition. a lot of people in the competitive eating world calling this like the Jordan flu game.
Okay, so this was all just muscle memory for him then, huh?
He took some time off and was not
flu game
in his usual form.
What if Michael Jordan had played that game after eating 63 hot dogs? And it would have been like, well, why would you do that?
With crutches under his arms and a boot on his leg, would this be the year that Joey Chestnut was finally taken down?
Right.
The over-under on hot dogs for Joey Chestnut was set at 74 and a half hot dogs.
Didn't get there.
Mm-hmm. And then he entered.
This moment to witness this man. The humble consequence of carbon. The fleeting spray of life turned diamond by the sun. Forever suspended in that instant. Indifferent to the gods. For he does not envy their power. He will not plead their power.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So they just have him on like a skyjack and they're lifting him above the crowds as this guy is waxing poetically on the...
The sun makes diamonds, huh?
I didn't understand any of that. What was any of that? So then things get underway, and Joey is a little slow out of the gate.
He's banged up.
Mm-hmm. And then some protester in a Darth Vader mask takes the stage. Joey Chestnut was not interested. And I want you to watch the body slam that Joey Chestnut gives this knucklehead. He's an animal rights activist, and he's not happy with the fact that pigs are treated poorly to be turned into hot dogs. Joey Chestnut's not here for it. And chokes him out, slams him onto the ground.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Careful, Joey.
Yeah. So Darth Vader slows down Joey Chestnut, but does not stop him from winning his 15th Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Championship.
Joey, you got yourself a little violent streak there. He was
interrupted by the masked man, and his total was actually 8.5 hot dogs short of the over-under line. So if you took the under, you made bank. And now Joey Chestnut is your 15-time champion. I have so many questions.
Take it easy with the anger there, Joey.
I mean, that's the thing.
It looked like he was going to actually try to rip his head off.
It's not like he's trying to subdue the
guy.
No,
no.
It's like, I'm going to end your life and turn you into a hot dog, is what it looks like. Yeah, that was,
good God.
That was a lot to watch. But there he is. He is the...
Someone's got a wry neck today.
Darth Vader woke up with a wry neck.
Darth Vader can only look to his left from now on. I don't think it's coming back.
Oh, no.
Good God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pent-up issues there, Joey.
Yeah. Yeah. That had been
building up for some time.
Yeah. That wasn't about Star Wars or animal rights.
No, it was.
There's something else going on there.
There's something else happening.
Grabs
there.
This guy in a chokehold and then and
tries to
violently
tear.
Throws him to the ground while he's got two hot dogs in his mouth. I mean, that's the thing. It's one thing to have an event where, okay, you spring into action and the adrenaline overtakes you. He's already coursing with a lot of adrenaline, obviously.
This is about Dad leaving us when we were two.
Security got this protester off the stage and in a real way saved this man's life.
It really did.
As Joey Chestnut was about to murder him. I mean, listen, Rafael Nadal doesn't win a singles title while murdering someone on the court. If Joey Chestnut was able to do it, that would have been one for the ages.
Now, there was another protester on the stage with him. Did you see that?
Yeah, there's like a stormtrooper.
Stormtrooper. We should watch the stormtrooper and see how he reacts to the violent takedown. I have to assume he left the stage as quickly as possible.
The stormtrooper just kind of like backs away.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stormtrooper sees what happens to Darth Vader and decides, you know, they're just pigs. Maybe I don't need to get so worked up about this. It seems
there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of filler in hot dogs.
You know
that aren't. That's not animal.
You know, both the men's and women's champions here, Miki Sudo and Joey Chestnut, each won $10,000 yesterday for their efforts.
Do we know, was Joey ever like jilted at the altar or anything?
Trying to figure out where this rage comes from?
Where is all this coming from? Because, yeah. I mean, I know it's his day.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right.
This is his big moment.
Right.
But it's not like he hasn't had lots of these big moments.
He had a ruptured tendon in his leg and still managed to consume 63 of the hot dogs for his 15th championship.
Well, you don't really need your legs.
All right. The world record he set last year was 76 hot dogs. This year, only 63. So now I guess we'll have to, next year there'll be talk about, has he lost a step? No, I don't think so. I think part of why he only ate 63 was he just was focused on murdering Darth Vader with his bare hands.
Good Lord.
Joey Chestnut proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Nessie Riskiab, just before defending his title. In the 2014 Nathan's competition, the couple would split up early the next year, just before their scheduled wedding date.
There you go.
Boy, you called it.
This has been bubbling up for a while.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's
just part of the puzzle.
I'm looking at some of the other Joey Chestnut, just in the last couple of years. There was a competition in Florida in 2019. Joey Chestnut ate 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes. 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes.
Doesn't seem
possible. I had one for lunch yesterday, and I haven't had anything to eat since.
Doesn't seem possible. That's right. I had one.
A couple of grapes for dinner. What are you doing here?
I had one grilled cheese yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had him cut it up in fourths. You know, party size. And haven't had anything since then.
What's my rule on donuts? Glazed donuts here. Three donuts is half a donut too many. That's been my maxim.
Yeah.
This cat ate 55 donuts in 8 minutes.
Oof.
For the World Donut Eating Championship. Jiminy criminy, this guy ate 32 in 2020. 32 Big Macs in 38 minutes. Don Gorski's
take that, Don Gorski.
God, if Don Gorski were to take the stage, now you've got a clash of the titans.
Two.
We finally walked across the I-74 bridge this
there
weekend.
You go.
Finally took in the pedestrian I-74 bridge. Family did the walk there and back from Bettendorf to Moline and back again. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I want to say it's a very cool thing that we have.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. You went all the way across and back?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good 2 miles. It was a lot of fun, and it's really, I mean, I marvel at all the hard work that went into that thing. It's very cool and something that I know we're all going to enjoy for many years to come. That said, I do have a couple of notes.
Okay.
One, when you get halfway between here and there, when you're at the midpoint of the bridge, they've got this really cool area with some benches where you can just kind of sit and watch the river. And there's this oculus, they call it. It's this big window on the floor.
Yeah.
So you can stand on it and look down and kind of see the Mississippi River.
Yeah, gotcha.
That was very cool.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
And the thing was, too, we had the, at least for our walk from Bettendorf to Moline, it was as if we had the entire pedestrian path to ourselves. Didn't see but maybe one or two other people. It got busier later on.
Okay.
But when we're at the Oculus there, right in the center, we had it all to ourselves. Took a couple of, quick family pics. There's garbage all over the place. Like some family had come and had Whitey's ice cream and a couple of cans of cold pop. And then they decided to just leave their trash there on the benches. Like, somebody will come and clean it up.
Oh.
And there's not a garbage can because, you don't want to do that,
no.
Right? You don't want to have a garbage can in the middle of nowhere. So the idea of, people thinking it's cool to have a picnic there, I think that's groovy.
But stuff it in your pocket
when
you're
done. What's the matter with people?
Don't bring too much of a picnic.
Exactly. Can't have anything nice. And also, I don't know how you had walking with ice cream to get to the middle of the bridge. You probably had some sort of soup by the time you got there.
And if you're going to do that, if you're going to bring ice cream on the bridge, just a cone.
Thank you, Darren.
You know, then that way it's all, we're done.
Exactly.
Or if you're going to have a meal, hot dog.
Right.
Without the wrapper.
Right. Precisely.
An apple.
Well, you still get the core.
Well, what's the worst?
Can you throw the core in the river and not have Chad Gracky find you in the middle of the night? Is this yours? So the litter kind of bummed me out, although I don't know what, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm expecting too much of people to have
Chad with his, is this your apple core?
Nah, you don't want that knock in the middle of the night when it's Chad McGracky with whatever you threw in the river in a sealed Ziploc bag. These look like your bite marks.
I thought it was biodegradable. You thought wrong.
I'll give you biodegradable. The other thing that I want to say about this,
you know,
bridge,
who else is biodegradable?
This is something that we got to nip in the bud right now.
Okay.
People are doing that thing that folks do on bridges where you bring a padlock and then you lock it on the bridge. This is something couples do all over the world. And the idea
you mean
it's like a lover thing that lovers do.
No, you can't just do that.
No, but they do it all over the world, and it doesn't need to happen here. There's a bridge in Paris, the Pont des Arts, that they finally said enough was enough, and they just started taking all the padlocks.
Well, I can just sit there on the bench there with a bolt cutter if you want me to.
That's what I'd like to see happen.
I mean, I'll have a nice big floppy hat and my bolt cutter. And that'll be the end of that.
You bring a padlock. The idea is you bring a padlock and then you put your initials on it.
No.
And then you go and you lock the padlock on the fence there on the bridge. And then you throw the key in the river, you know, to symbolize that you're together forever.
No.
What you're doing is littering.
You're littering, and you know how much heavier you're making the bridge?
Well, that's the thing. This bridge, historic bridge in Paris, they ended up deciding a couple years ago that's enough. Because the weight of all the padlocks was making the bridge lean to one side.
Well, a padlock is a heavy thing.
Right. So these tokens of love, listen, do that at your house. We don't need your garbage on our new shiny new bridge.
Or how about this?
Yeah.
Dig a hole in the backyard and sit in it.
That'll prove your love.
For your love.
How about the two of you dig a hole?
Dig two holes. Or one hole that's big enough for both of you to sit in.
Here you go.
Having said that, call Julie first.
Yeah, before you dig, yes. Yeah, they had there's a bridge in Australia where they took down all the locks. And there's a junction bridge that's over the Arkansas River, and they took the locks down. They said at the end of the year, we're taking the locks down. And people were furious because, you know, my understanding was that padlock would be there forever to symbolize our love.
Well, you know what we could do?
Mm-hmm.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we set up on both the ends of the bridge a little kiosk that sells locks. And I'll go get some bolt cutters.
Okay.
And you sell the locks.
I like where this is going.
And then I'll just go up there.
So do we do like a contract with like Bettendorf and Moline to say, hey, we're going to take care of the padlocks that people are putting up there.
Don't worry, we'll sell
the padlocks.
Exactly. We'll get them coming and going.
Oh my gosh. I like this. So it's lock, stock, and barrels.
That's right.
I like this a lot. Yeah. There are a handful of these padlocks already on the new I-74 bridge.
What can we charge? $10? Make it nice and simple?
Well, I mean, $10 is for our basic padlock if you don't love each other a lot. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or for, you know, star-crossed lovers such as you, I would recommend our $25. Or if we have the platinum package, a $50 lock that really will stand the test of time.
Right.
And you may,
or at least until you're off the bridge and I get up there and I cut it off.
Don't tell them that part.
Well, I'm not going to tell them.
That's just for us to know.
I'm not going to tell them that part. They don't need to know about the bolt cutters at all.
No matter what you do, there's a Facebook group that's called No Love Locks Facebook group. They share my sentiment that that's enough of this. And they say, no matter what obvious efforts the city has made to stop the love locks, people still hang their locks on this bridge in Paris. They write here, it's a real middle finger from some thoughtless tourists to the people of Paris.
And on the weekend, we serve breakfast, locks and bagels.
I like where this is going. This is a no-brainer money maker. Don't do this. Yeah, love locks have no place really on any bridge, but certainly not on our brand new
I-74
pedestrian.
No.
Take that nonsense somewhere else. No. I'm not saying you should do it somewhere else, but what I am saying is don't do it
what
here.
What we're saying is don't do it at all.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There are plenty of ways you can show your undying devotion for somebody that doesn't involve littering and bolt cutters, for crying out loud.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
All of us. We're adults here.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out.
Tattoo artist told me once that when people come in and they want
a person's name,
yeah, they do everything they can.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Unless it's your kid's name.
Yeah.
Don't tattoo it because you just don't know.
You just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's somebody who you loved who is no longer with us.
Yeah, because odds are...
Mm-hmm. They can't let you down when they're dead.
Well, they can. If they can.
Things have come to light.
If you find some letters written in longhand.
Barry Sheck!
Oh my God. Whoa! What are you confessing to?
Yeah, getting like a pet's name or a kid's name tattooed, the tattoo artist was saying all day long.
Yeah, but that's
when you come in and you say, oh, we're very much in love and we're getting each other's name. They will beg you.
I think we look alike.
don't do it.
Don't you think we look alike?
Right. And the thing, too, is you throw away the key, right? If you break up with somebody and you've got a love lock, you're not going to go with bolt cutters to take that thing off.
That's somebody else's problem. That'll be my job.
Right. So this, Darren, you're very excited about getting the bolt cutters out.
Well, the thing about it is, too, it'll be like, have you been working out? Well, my forearms.
Look at this.
I'm like Popeye the Sailor Man.
I'm the discarder of lost loves.
I did end up getting a tattoo with a name on it, and it's a spinach can.
Watch this trick I can do. So
yeah, no,
whether it's a Whitey's cup. A pop can or a padlock. Can we please keep the new bridge nice? That's all I'm asking. And I know I'm asking too much.
Just for
because people are monsters.
Just for the first few months, anyway.
Well, yeah.
Come on.
Can we just have it nice for just, you know, a little bit? It's still got the new bridge smell. Can we at least keep it nice for this magical period we find ourselves in?
I went ahead and spent $1 billion on it. I'd like it to be nice through the weekend.
Right. That's all.
Number three.
Could use some good news. How about this? A deadly asteroid they thought was going to smash into the Earth in 2052. Now scientists say it's going to miss us. So there, April 2nd, 2052. Is not the day that the asteroid is going to slam into Earth and potentially, you know, kill a whole bunch of us.
Gotcha.
Or who's ever left by the year 2052. Experts from the European Space Agency's asteroid team have officially taken the asteroid known as 2021 QMI off their asteroid risk list. This announcement follows skilled observations and analysis of a barely seen asteroid that was observed using the most sensitive telescopes on planet Earth.
Speaking of the 50s, did you see the Elvis movie?
No. Hmm. No, I didn't. I imagine you didn't either.
No, not yet.
No. Wait, what movie did we watch? You know what we watched this weekend? Adam Sandler NBA movie, Hustle.
What'd you think of it?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's good. It's worth watching. Yeah, it was good. He's actually terrific in it, and There's this one montage that goes on, and I think Mike talked about this when we talked about
a little too much.
Well, it's actually very. It makes sense that the training montage goes on as long as it does. It's the longest training montage in the history of any movie training montage.
Yeah, you'd be wore out after that.
I had Rocky III on last night for a little bit because they were doing a Rocky marathon, and I've never seen Rocky III in its entirety.
Mm.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen the beginning of Rocky III. What a
oh, and he's a champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, living high on the hog.
Oh, my gosh. And nobody can stand him? It's an interesting choice. And at one point, Rocky does a... Because he just beats everybody up. And Mr. T, as Clubber Lang, is in the audience for all of his fights, mm-hmm. just looking disgusted.
Yeah.
And I love that angle of Clubber Lang traveling the globe to pay to see Rocky Balboa win, so he can just be disgusted the whole time. And
I wonder if he ever gets comped.
Well, that was my thought. He's obviously somebody in the boxing scene. Somebody's taking care of his tickets, right? Or not? Is Clubber Lang paying good money to go to these prize fights?
I hope you're racking up points.
And as they're showing that training montage, playing Eye of the Tiger, it struck me that that song is really Clubber Lang's theme song, not Mr. T's.
Rocky.
Rocky, yeah. It's Mr. T's theme song. It's Clubber Lang's theme song, not Rocky.
Yeah, he's already got a theme song.
Right, exactly. Thank you, Bill Conti.
Yeah, it's Clubber Lang who needs the Eye of the Tiger.
Exactly.
To take down
and the
whole
thing about rising up and I'm gonna take him out. That's not Rocky's theme, that's Clubber Lang's theme. There's a thing where... Oh,
yeah. Rocky's already on top of the mountain.
Rocky takes on Hulk Hogan. I'm telling you all this like you haven't seen Rocky III.
Yes, we know.
I'm the last person on Earth to see Rocky III. I accept that.
Yes, we all know this.
And the idea is it's a charity event where the world heavyweight champion is going to take on a professional wrestler.
Yes.
Which doesn't make any sense. And then Hulk Hogan is like, no, I'm going to kill you. So Rocky just thinks they're here to do some sort of exhibition.
See, Rocky is just unaware of how hated he is. He thought he's a beloved character.
Right. And then Hulk Hogan tries to kill him. And then Rocky gets thrown into the audience. And when he's in the air, he says, somebody catch me. Which is my favorite. It's the greatest...
That's the greatest line in cinema.
I had to rewind it. Like, did he really say that? Hulk Hogan throws Rocky Balboa from the ring. He's in the air, and he goes, hey, somebody catch me.
Has anyone ever actually done that? Somebody catch me.
While you're in the air?
While you're in the air.
It was something else. Oh, somebody catch me.
Yeah, and then Rocky chokes out... Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he gets up and...
Not as violently as Joey Chestnut.
No.
But still.
No. It's worth pointing out. Yeah, that's a good point. The exhibition fight between Rocky and Thunderlips is the Hulk Hogan character.
Not nearly as violent as Joey Chestnut.
Somebody catch me. Like he's a cartoon character just hovering in the air. Help me out!
Just one person catch me?
Here, listen.
Oh my God! Balboa is really in pain.
No one can believe the superhuman strength of Thunderlips. I am the man.
Stop it, me!
You want this punching bag,
Adrian?
Rocky!
So he's got Hulk Hogan's got Rocky. He's holding him by his shoulder and his crotch, and. And Adrian's in the crowd, and Rocky's like, hey, Adrian!
Rocky!
What is that? What does he think she's going to do?
Well, I think she's concerned that he's being supported by his testicles.
There is that.
Catch me!
Catch me! Catch me! Isn't that wonderful?
Catch me!
Catch me! He's yelling, catch me in there. Somebody catch me!
Keep clear into the fifth row.
meanwhile, looks like Mickey's got heartburn.
And Mickey has
acid reflux.
Mickey has a hearing aid that, to the untrained eye, looks like he somehow has traveled into the future, and he has AirPods from an iPhone. Like, I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Well,
there.
He does. He's actually listening to the Rocky soundtrack. It fires him up.
I got it on Spotify. Rocky. Somebody catch me. Oh, yeah, that's I didn't finish it. I need to finish Rocky III. He's rich and famous beyond his wildest dreams, and that makes him lazy and overconfident.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's how it works.
I need to finish this, because if it's as good as when he's in the air saying, "Catch me, please." Well, you're getting thrown into a packed stadium. Someone is going to stop your fall, Rocky.
Yeah, as far as actually catching you, I don't know about that.
Please! Adrian!
You clearly are...
Put on your hands!
You're clearly going to land on somebody.
Number four!
Four.
Four. Four.
The Kentucky landmark up for sale. The Claudia Sanders Dinner House. This is in Shelbyville, Kentucky. Claudia Sanders Dinner House, created by none other than Harlan Sanders for his wife.
Do you like it?
Maybe you know him as Colonel Sanders.
I wonder what he did wrong.
What do you mean?
Why he had to build that for her.
Why he had to build her a restaurant?
Do you like it? Are we okay now?
As part of the sale, when you buy this Claudia Sanders Dinner House, you'll also acquire the trademark and likeness of the Claudia Sanders name, plus the home that was the primary residence of the Sanders family for more than 25 years.
Wow. What do they want for all of that?
Oh, it's not cheap.
But you're able to utilize the likeness then?
Not of Colonel Sanders, but of Mrs. Colonel Sanders.
Well, he's always kind of in the background.
5,000 square foot residence named Blackwood Hall is where the Sanders family lived from 1959 until 1984. Home is being sold along with many pieces of memorabilia, including Colonel Sanders' original Kentucky Colonel certificate, a happy birthday letter from President Richard Nixon, a money clip, a wristwatch, and more. Colonel Sanders, I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Porterhouse, more chicken.
The physical property also includes more than 3 acres of commercially zoned real estate, two structures that include the 25,000 square foot restaurant and banquet hall. Sale price not listed. Interested parties are asked to contact.
If you have to ask, you don't have it.
You can't afford it.
You can't. If you have to ask how much, this isn't for you.
The listing agent and family representative says here in the press release, Claudia was the unspoken hero of her husband's success in business, and he wanted to honor her by creating the Claudia Sanders Dinner House and associated brands.
She was a warhorse.
There is so much rich history included in this sale. It's exciting to think about the potential that lies ahead for the right buyer to honor and protect this legacy and to grow the brand even further. Known for its famous yeast rolls, creamed spinach, pies, and Southern comfort cooking, Claudia Sanders Dinner House has been a staple of the Shelbyville community since its grand opening in 1959 and was built with a legacy of its own in the heart of Kentucky. The visitors traveling from all over the world come to visit. The building at one time served as the very first KFC headquarters. The restaurant has only been owned by the Sanders and their close friends, the Settles. The Settles are now committed to finding the next caretaker of this historic brand. Look, I know what you're asking for the dinner house, but would you settle for this? Settles? Isn't that kind of your thing? Colonel Sanders died in 1980. He was 94 years old. His wife, Claudia, passed away in 1996. She, too, was in her 90s when she died.
How much for just the yeast roll recipe?
That's all we want. It's worth pointing out that Colonel Sanders, I mean, my favorite part of the Colonel Sanders story is how he would show up randomly to KFC's and just scream at people for not doing things the way he wanted it done.
Run them through the paces.
To the point where they had to tell him to cool it. And
you're freaking everyone out.
Yeah. He would just badmouth KFC to anyone who asked. Even though, you know, that was his gimmick. He was always walking around in that white suit and the black string bow tie. He was a spokesperson, but he was not pleased. There was an interview he gave the New Yorker in 1970 where he was so upset by the quality of the food that he told reporters the gravy at KFC, quote, ain't fit for my dogs.
Well, the recipe did change. Sorry.
He was not what it used to be. So open about how much he couldn't stand the changes they made to his signature recipes that KFC sued Colonel Sanders for libel in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Could you imagine if... Now, that court case eventually got thrown out. But I think that would be incredible to see. KFC versus Colonel Sanders in court. Now they've got all these people in cartoons portraying him like he was, you know, love with their food.
Whenever he got pinned in a corner, he would fight his way out with that black cane.
He was not afraid to swing that cane.
If need be.
Uh-huh. He would also refer to the potatoes and gravy as sludge and wallpaper paste. Colonel Sanders once referred to KFC as, quote, the worst fried chicken I've ever seen. That's something else. When your mascot is just bad-mouthing your product to the point where they had to get lawyers involved. I wouldn't give your gravy to my dogs. Wow. How do you really feel?
Yeah, you shouldn't probably be feeding gravy to dogs.
Well, he wasn't going to.
Well, good.
The New Yorker said in that piece in 1970, quote, even when he's not angry and red in the face, the colonel is a striking figure. The FBI considered him to be an internationally well-known figure, and they had started a file on him.
A threat.
The FBI was monitoring Colonel Sanders?
Okay.
This included a birthday invitation from Sanders to the then director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover. Wow. He would visit KFCs on country tours that didn't live up to his standards. He was concerned about how they had changed his recipe. He described...
If you don't think I'm as serious as a heart attack, take a look out that window and tell me who's sitting in that car. J. Edgar Hoover.
He was obsessed with making the gravy so delicious.
Yeah.
That in his words, quote, it should make you want to throw away the darn chicken and just eat the gravy.
Well, it's not the gravy it used to be.
Somewhere between the time that Sanders sold KFC and the 1970s, the franchisees changed the recipe. This was a constant source of contention between the company and the colonel.
I understand.
In 1978, Sanders told a Kentucky newspaper, quote, my God, the gravy is horrible. They buy tap water for 15 to 20 cents a 1,000 gallons, and they mix it in with flour and starch and end up with pure wallpaper paste. And I know wallpaper paste, by God, because I've seen my mother make it.
I fed you.
He said that the gravy at KFC was sludge, adding, quote, there's no nutrition in it, and they ought not be allowed to sell it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Colonel Sanders just...
tearing him a new one.
Can you imagine, like, Ronald McDonald just having a moment where he's like, the burgers here are terrible. And I don't know how anybody...
in there and then just...
I don't know how anybody eats this garbage.
Whipping nuggets at...
Or what if Wendy came into the restaurant? Now, Wendy's a real person, right? Isn't that Dave Domus's daughter? If Wendy walked into a Wendy's and was like, this Baconator is garbage.
Just pulled her pants down and sat in the chili.
What?
What did you just do?
Why would
anyone do that?
KFC, he sold the Kentucky Fried Chicken to the people that ended up buying it from him for $2 million.
Ooh.
And a lifetime salary of $40,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I want to be taken care of.
1964, he gave into their offer for $2 million. He got a down payment of $50,000 in the sale, some assets in Canada, and a lifetime salary of $40,000.
Assets in Canada?
I want some Canadian assets.
I want Niagara Falls. Yeah.
I need a place to go hide if my number comes up in the Vietnam draft.
Right.
I'm a colonel after all. You think I'm going to Nam?
They're the first ones they're going to take out.
By God, this gravy is terrible, and Vietnamese boys need to be dying for their own freedom. Not me. End this war, President Johnson. He became discontent with the direction KFC was going, including when they moved their headquarters to Tennessee. That must have made him insane.
No kidding.
Oh, no.
You're going to move Kentucky Fried Chicken out of Kentucky?
He then chose to open this new restaurant that he called the Colonel Sanders Dinner House. But KFC said, no, we own the rights to your name, Colonel Sanders. So then he...
Bully.
Then he changed the name of the restaurant that's now up for sale to Colonel Lady's Dinner House.
Colonel Lady?
Uh-huh, that's what he wanted to call it. First, it was Colonel Sanders Dinner House in Kentucky. And they said, no, you can't call it Colonel Sanders. We own the rights to your name. And then he said, what if I call it Colonel Lady's Dinner House?
Am I showing too much cleavage?
This is my reality. This is my truth. Your gravy tastes like garbage. And what do you think of these? KFC insisted they own the rights to the name Colonel. Sanders then started to sue KFC for $122 million.
Ooh, now we're serious.
KFC responded by suing the Colonel for trademark infringement.
Then the Colonel accidentally sued himself.
I don't know. I went to court and I somehow took the stand against myself.
And then the Colonel sued an actual live chicken. The chicken countersued.
Oh my God, that's great.
Wow, what a
Colonel
rich and full
Colonel
life.
Sanders place. Can't call Colonel Sanders? How about Colonel Lady? No?
Tango Lady.
Well, that's how they ended up calling it the Claudia Sanders Dinner House, you see. Yeah. If you just have Sanders in the name, people get it. They know.
Yeah, they get it.
They test.
They dig. They test.
Five.
Number five.
Monday mornings is when we usually like to run down some of the advice columns. But we weren't here yesterday because, you know, Independence Day and whatnot. So I have a handful of them I wanted to share with you. And get your take, Darren.
Uh-huh.
This first one asks, should I confess to my husband that I impersonated him in an email to his ex-girlfriend and deleted the evidence? A lot to unpack here.
No, you shouldn't be asking for advice.
Are you crazy? Is that your problem?
No.
Last week, the writer writes here,
What you did, we should not know about.
This is none of our business. And the fact that you know it's so wrong,
yes,
to write out to an advice column.
Reaching out to the advice column is wrong.
Last week, I was doing some work on our shared desktop computer while my husband's personal email was still logged in, which I didn't realize until a notification popped up and I caught sight of his ex's name.
Mm.
This is the beautiful, sparkly, outgoing woman who swooped down and took his virginity when he was 27, dated him for 6 months.
There's no swooping there.
Dumped him out of nowhere and broke his heart.
Uh-huh.
She's the only other woman he's ever been with, whereas I haven't been with anyone but him. As much as I know he loves me, and our four-year-old daughter and the baby we just found out I'm pregnant with, I've always felt insecure about how he still seems to put his ex on a pedestal and agonizes occasionally over losing her. Oh, boy. Unable to control my curiosity, I skimmed the long message she'd sent him, wherein she apologized for how she treated him, rambled on about her unloving parents, their nasty divorce, her abusive early relationships, mental illness, and drug problems.
Okay.
Then told how she'd cleaned up, gotten into therapy and meditation, and now heading into her late 30s is desperate to become a mom. She said he was the only truly good man she'd ever known, and despite knowing he was already married and a father, she wanted to give their relationship a second chance.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack in one email.
Say what? It really is.
That's like when you saw her name and you started reading the email. That's everything you didn't want to read.
It checks all the boxes.
It does. It's like, what is the chance?
Almost without thinking, I replied as my husband, saying I was very happy in my marriage and to please never contact me again.
Beat it.
Then I deleted the sent message, the original, and deleted them from the trash. I haven't said a word to my husband, and as far as I know, she hasn't emailed him again. But I can't help feeling guilty about snooping in his email and impersonating him. Do I owe him the truth, even if it ends up costing me everything?
No, this was a black bag job that needed to remain a black bag job.
Exactly!
If you did it, you did it, and don't tell anyone.
What you did was smart, but blabbing about it is stupid.
Really?
Right!
We should not know about this.
The advice columnist here says that it's something that you should confess and ask Ooh. Yourself why you're so jealous.
Well, apparently, because she wants him back.
I know you've got a wife and a kid. I want you back. I'm good now, baby.
Who sends an email like that?
It's not your fault you feel insecure. That's normal, he writes. But it may be an indicator that something is off in the relationship that's probably only fixable by bringing things into the light. Oh, hell no.
Oh, I don't keep think that, so.
Keep that deep, deep, deep down. And if she does write another email and he says, do you know anything about this? Act stupid. What are you doing?
Blame spam.
I couldn't tell you what.
I don't know.
What do you think? I go through your email? You think you're so great? I got to read your emails?
Really?
Should I continue dating a man who tracks my period and hounds me for updates whenever it's late? This writer writes to the Washington Post advice columnist.
Let me ask you this. What's he do for a living?
My boyfriend and I have been together for about 6 months, and he's a great, loving, generous, fun, and caring guy. But he's so paranoid that I'll get pregnant that it makes me crazy. When we got together, he told me he was not sure about kids and definitely isn't ready now. That's fine by me. I'm 24, 6 years younger than he is, and I'm just starting out in a competitive field and not even totally sure about kids yet either.
Uh-huh.
I'm on reliable birth control and have been since I was 18 with no problems. She goes on to talk about other things that they're doing to make sure that the baby doesn't show up. And then she says, on top of all of this, he tracks my periods. And on the day I'm expected to get it, he'll text me until I assure him that I got it. It makes me feel as if he doesn't trust me or have my back. So I finally talked to him, and he said he went through a pregnancy with a girlfriend when he was younger, and it was horrible. I'm finishing up something big at work, something that's either make or break for the next step in my career. And as always, when I'm super stressed, my period was late. I explained this to him, but he insisted that I had to take a pregnancy test, which I did. Of course, it was negative, but he still didn't relax until I got it. He asked whether the same thing could happen this month, and I said, yeah, probably, or that I might not even get it. And now he's completely freaked out, also asking me to be patient with him and not break up. I think I might love this guy, but I'm also wondering if he's worth the stress. My two cents, this guy's not worth anything.
And I hate to break it to you, but he's not the only one who's going to be tracking it.
Well, there's that.
Shame. Shame.
I'd lose the app.
Shame.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer.
Get rid of the app.
You gotta drop all of it. Exactly. Get rid of this guy. Last one. How can I make my husband understand I don't want my ex-husband living in a van in our driveway and working for our business? God. Who are these people?
I don't know.
Who are these monster people?
One bad idea after another.
Writing to Dear Abby, it says here, I love my husband, but I'm getting tired of being a second-class citizen in my home. Anytime you're in a relationship with somebody, by the way, and they throw around the term second-class citizen, hit the bricks. That's when you hit the silk, put the eject button, and get out of there. You treat me like a second-class citizen. Okay, I gotta go. I love my husband, but I'm getting tired of being a second-class citizen in my home. It started when we bought a van from a friend of mine. We talked about different things we could do with it. Fix it up a little and sell it.
Yeah.
Or use it for vacation.
Sure.
But somewhere along the line, it was suggested that we let my ex, Paul, buy it from us because he's homeless and chooses to let everyone else take care of him. The van is now fixed. Paul lost his job and is now living in the van in my driveway.
No.
The problem is he doesn't stay in the van. He crashes on my couch, uses our electricity, water, etc. And now he's eating my food.
Wanders around the yard.
I told my husband.
He doesn't stay in the van.
This is not healthy for my well-being.
No, I get it. You're right.
No, I can't. My husband and I own our own business, and Paul has now become involved with that, too. My husband says he can use the help, and he gives Paul money to move. The only problem with that is my ex doesn't use the money for bills. He blows it on junk he doesn't need. I'm tired of raising a 41-year-old grown man. Help!
Which one are you talking about?
Okay, what the f***?
You imagine that? I got the ex-husband living in a van in my driveway.
You got what?
Just, and he helps himself to whatever's in my house.
He wanders around the yard.
Mm-hmm. Dear Abby, as you might guess.
I don't know. I would say maybe a third time's a charm.
Get it? But then
maybe?
What happens?
Yeah, no, you're probably just going to dig a deeper hole.
Yeah, no, the two ex-husbands will then move together into the van.
Yeah.
And then they'll want to live where you and your new husband are. Dear Abby, this is a...
What is the professional
her response
have
to
say?
Fed Up in Oklahoma is, Dear Abby says, you are not a second-class citizen. This arrangement seems crazy. Because it's interfering with your marriage, tell your husband the situation is affecting your mental health.
And this is what she means to say. Yeah. Doesn't seem crazy. It is crazy.
If a person does too many crazy things, then that person is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You're right.
She's just being nice.
The ocean doesn't seem blue.
No.
It's blue. This arrangement doesn't seem crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Dear Abby says, tell your husband the situation is affecting your mental health and insist upon a deadline by which Paul will be out of there. Guests, like fish, start to stink after 3 days. And Paul has exceeded that by far.
Smells real bad.
He has a van. So whether or not he has saved enough for a place of his own, he won't be without shelter. Your mental health is more important than your husband having an extra hand in the business. Well, yeah. A no duh is what I would say to that.
You're going to be doing a lot of doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river.
Wow. I
struggle
to reconcile the fact that these are actual human beings. But I guess people are monsters.
Those are some interesting stories.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top 5 things.
Sure was.
I enjoyed it. I hope you did too. We'll have another one for you here before too long. And I mentioned this week we have to get done our June podcast for the patrons, right?
We will. All right. Well, sometime this week.
Sometime this week. Till we get a chance to do it for you again, though. Hang loose, Kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Red cakes for nutches.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.